95 BFM News election coverage 2020. Housing.
Producer James Tapp talked to the Opportunities Party leader Jeff Simmons about a range of topics within housing, looking at social housing, affordability, and the Resource Management Act. James would like to apologise in advance for the audio quality because this was done from home.
Can't afford to crash the housing market overnight. It's possible to do, but it would devastate our economy. So we have to have another 30 years where house prices and rents are held stable so that incomes can catch up. And in the meantime, young people are not going to be able to afford to buy, but they need to be able to turn their house into a home. And that means we need stronger renters' rights. The government has made some progress on this, but we are still way behind what is happening overseas in terms of renters' rights.
Okay, so how could it be possible for a single person in their late 20s or early 30s to afford to buy a home on the average income?
Right now, it's not, to be frank. It isn't. And it's going to take some time to fix that problem. But the first thing we have to do is make sure that house prices and rents don't rise any further. So absolutely, I mean, what you're saying is a real issue. Back in the 1980s, the house price to household income ratio was about 3-1. Now in Auckland, it's about 11-1. And that's assuming you live with someone else. So it's crazy. A single person has absolutely no chance of purchasing a home in the current environment, and that absolutely needs to be fixed. But it is going to take time, and in the meantime we need stronger renters' rights.
That leads quite my next question, which is, what can TOP do to ensure rental prices are more affordable in Tamaki Makaurau?
Well, there's a whole bunch of things that we want to do around that. I mean, I've already mentioned increasing the supply of housing, and that is the big thing that is going to shift the needle here, because just a greater supply of housing means more people renting them out, which means, you know, lower rents overall. Our tax system changes will help that as well, because it penalises land bankers. So I don't know if you know about land bankers, but these are people that are sitting on valuable bits of land that aren't developing it, because they make more money by seeing the price of their land go up than they would make by actually building stuff and renting it out. So we need to penalise land bankers and give them a really strong incentive to get building. And then once they do that and we increase the supply of housing, that will make a big difference. On the other side, we do need, like I said, stronger rental controls, which would prevent landlords increasing the rent any faster than the average in that area. That's one of the extra regulations we want to bring in, which is how Germany operates. And lastly, and this will take time, but we need to build up the community housing sector. So in New Zealand, we're obsessed with Housing New Zealand and having state houses, but actually overseas, what we see is a massive community housing sector. These are not-for-profit community organizations that are part-funded by philanthropy, part-funded by government, and over time, they build up large housing stocks, which not only provide social housing, but also provide at-cost rental housing, which competes with the private sector. And We want to build up the stock of community housing, because over time, as that is built up, we should be able to get rid of the accommodation supplement and instead focus on having a community housing sector that's competing with private landlords and keeping rents down that way.
Now, recently we saw some recommendations made around the Resource Management Act. And if they put in place, do you think they would have the intended effect of protecting the environment while also providing adequate housing?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the proposals that have come through lately are pretty positive from the government. Like I said before, the big issue that they haven't dealt with is the funding of local authorities. What we're seeing time and time again is that central government wants to take over more and more of what local authorities do. And, you know, I really believe that local areas, local people know what's best for their local area. We should be allowing differences between cities around the country. Certain cities might want to do things differently from others, and we should allow that local customization. So that's really just making sure that local authorities have the money to invest in the water infrastructure that they need and to invest in the public and active transport infrastructure that they need, so that we can actually build more medium density inner city housing. And when I say inner city, I don't necessarily mean in Auckland. That means it's all around the city centre, but it would be around the public, the existing and new public transport hubs that exist or could be built in the future.
Okay, because I was going to say, obviously, like, medium density housing is really good in making sure that lots of people are being housed. But we're also seeing that, especially somewhere like Auckland, there's a lot of housing being built, but there's not a lot of other facilities being built. So not as many, say, schools or shopping centres or anything else that really builds community apart from housing.
Yeah.
How would TOP make sure this was managed?
Yeah, I mean, this is where it comes into a conversation about integrated planning. And again, this isn't allowed for under the Resource Management Act. So we are talking about within cities that we get rid of the Resource Management Act and we instead have an Urban Development Act. So the kind of proposals that the government has made recently are a step forward in that respect, but we're talking about going a step even further than that to actually change the way that cities are planned so that we can allow for all the stuff that you are talking about, so that we can plan in an integrated fashion. So for example, you know, if to use an Auckland example, if light rail was put through Dominion Road, there would automatically be an allowance for mixed use, medium density all the way along that route for up to, you know, say 500 meters either side of the light rail route. So you'd be seeing, automatically there'd be an allowance that you'd be able to build sort of low rise apartments above shops all the way along that route. That sort of stuff should happen hand in hand whenever you know, whenever you're putting in place, you know, public transport, you should be able to have the other facilities coming in automatically. But at the moment, under the way the Resource Management Act happens, is that you have to consent for each of them separately. And that leads you to this really weird situation. So, like, again, to use an Auckland example, the park and ride up in Silverdale has the really bizarre situation that they got consented for two car parks, but the entrance to one of the car parks of the park and ride couldn't get consent to link up to the road. So you've got this one massive car park up in Silverdale, which isn't being used because a certain piece of the consent fell down. Well, that should just happen automatically. You know, once you have a development going in, you should be able to automatically have all the things that development needs all around it.
Moving on from this, while it is important to build homes, it's also important to make sure that they are healthy. So what would TOP do to make sure that when building new homes that they were also meeting high standards of living?
Yeah, so we favour bringing in an energy efficiency rating for houses so that people buying houses or even renting them would have information on how energy efficient those particular homes are, so that they get an idea of what their power bill would be, for example, if they were living in that particular dwelling. That's part of it. But the bigger issue here is the reason that we don't build energy efficient homes in New Zealand, or one of the reasons, is because it's so expensive to build in New Zealand. And that's to do with the duopoly, which is we have two big companies basically controlling our building supplies. We need to open up our building code so that we can accept building supplies from other similar countries, you know, countries that have earthquake risks and similar weather, like Japan, should be automatically approved here so that we can bring those in. A lot of those building supplies are far better in terms of energy efficiency, you know, being warm and dry houses than ours are. So it really would allow us to not only cut the cost of building in New Zealand, but also provide better quality housing at the same time.
Okay. So next question. What do you think of the Residential Tenancy Amendment Bill that recently got put through? And is it enough? And who is it going to benefit moving forward?
Oh, look, it's a step forward, and it will benefit renters. It certainly doesn't go far enough. And as I've already outlined, I think we need to with other countries, so greater restrictions on how much rents can be increased, for example, and also greater restrictions on the sort of threat. For example, at the moment, you can still evict people if you're going to sell the property. Now, in many countries overseas, if you sell your property, the tenants come with, have signed a lease, then they get to stay in the property as long as they want. And I think that should be the case here. But the bigger issue here, again, these major parties are dealing with the symptoms of the problem without dealing with the real problem. The reason why we see ghost homes, the reason why we see homes sitting empty and people don't even bother to rent them out, is because people can make more money just by sitting on a house and getting benefit from the value of the land going up than they actually get from renting the place out to tenants. So what's really needed here is a change to our tax system. We don't need to tax capital gain. We need to kill capital gain. Make sure that there is absolutely no incentive to speculate on house prices anymore. No more speculating on house prices, no more speculating on land. That's why we need to tax housing the same as other assets. And if we do that, if we, you know, can really credibly show speculators that house prices and land prices are just not going to rise anymore because we've fixed this loophole in our tax system, then they won't be allowing those properties to sit empty. They will have an incentive to actually get on and either rent them out or develop them. So at the moment, some landlords are saying, well, government, you're just making it too hard for us. We're just not even going to bother with tenants anymore. And with the tax system the way it is, that's a very credible threat, you know, that they might just actually give up being landlords and just become land bankers instead. So we need to fix the problems in our tax system. I have no doubt that they are committed to building more social housing, but by the time they've built it, there'll be a longer waiting list.
Okay, and are there any other comments you'd like to make?
No, look, I think your excellent questions have covered most things, but I think the point that people need to take home is that this problem is fixable. Don't believe anyone, don't believe any politician telling you that this is hard, that it is impossible to fix. And we've kind of come to believe that house prices will just continue to rise forever. There are plenty of countries around the world that have had stable house prices, stable rents for decades, and we just need to do exactly what they're doing. And that's what TOP is proposing, that we learn from what has worked overseas and we implement it here. But of course, everyone here thinks that house prices have to keep rising. Look, we have shown with our COVID response that we can achieve anything we want to do as a country. we, you know, obviously it's flared up again now, I know, but the way we eliminated COVID was spectacular, and then we took our eye off the ball, unfortunately. But we can actually fix this housing problem if we really focus on it and make sure that it is our number one priority. Young people need to know that if they vote, then actually we can deal to these issues. We can hold house prices and rents stable for a generation and ultimately restore housing affordability. Just don't believe that there's no other way to do this.